Why not? Why not have them worship Jesus?
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's Dr. Daryl Orman with today's message.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's greet each other, turn around, wave at everybody, and say hello. If you're outside, honk your horns. If you're in the fellowship hall, wave at everybody. Good to see all of you. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Seniors, Nick has asked our seniors to write up their stories, their testimonies, and so I want to encourage you to do that as part of an activity they're doing, and it'll be a blessing, and we praise the Lord for it. And just want to encourage all of you to stay safe these days, and just hang in there, be a witness for Christ. It's interesting that Kim was sharing with me, her mother went to be with the Lord a week and a half ago, and they were talking to their family's attorney down in Hollywood, a Jewish man, and he said to Kim and Don Lynn, you may not know this, but your father led me to Jesus at Curry Industries years ago in Miami. I would come in and there were gospel tracts in the toilet area and in the foyer, and I read all these pamphlets and I began to ask your dad questions, and he led me to Jesus. And so we praise the Lord for that. Amen. Good heritage. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you so much for your mighty Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for everything you do for us and how you take care of us and provide for us. And we ask you, please, dear God, to just pour your Spirit out upon us today, and that you would be glorified in a supernatural way. We just want to tell you we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pray with me, please, over our offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, Father, and for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we're especially thankful during these trying times that we have your word to depend upon. Father, we pray that you give us the strength and the resolution to adhere to your word and to seek you in every situation, every day. Father, we pray that you'll anoint the message that you laid on Pastor's heart and fill this room with your Holy Spirit, Father. And it's our prayer, if there's anyone in this room or at the sound of this meeting, Father, that doesn't know you, we pray that today would be the day that we'd celebrate with the angels as another lost soul comes to knowledge of your saving grace. Father, we love you and praise you and ask that you bless this offering and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you weren't awake, you should be awake now. Amen. We want to dismiss our children to Children's Church. I want to welcome you here today, and I want to begin a series of studies over the next few weeks on spiritual warfare. And today we're going to be looking at the nature of it, the nature of our spiritual warfare. And when we think about life, there's a lot of binary choices. It's like a one or the other. There's hot, there's cold. There's life, there's death. There's truth, there's a lie. And, you know, light and darkness, and on it goes. And today we're going to look at three of these binary choices in Scripture that basically relate to all of humanity, and they relate to the nature of the world we live in, not only this physical world, but the spiritual world around us, and where we're to be with all that, and where God wants us to stand. So if you've got your Bibles, Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verses 10 through 12, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. The first of these binary choices we want to look at is that there's not just a physical world, there is a spiritual world. Now, some would say metaphysical and use other terminology, but really it's always referring to the same thing, the immaterial world, the world that surrounds us. You and I are sitting today, you're sitting in chairs in this air-conditioned building, or maybe you're out in your car, and you're here and you think, well, this is the world, you know, this is the world I live in. I live in this world with these material things, this chair, this car, this truck. These things. But in actuality, the real world is the spiritual world that surrounds us. It's a world that we can't see. And it's interesting that it's filled and inhabited with intelligent beings, angels, demons, these various creatures that God created. And they are working for and against the will of God very aggressively on both sides. And so the scriptures talk about this here in Ephesians chapter 6 and kind of jerks the sheet back a little bit for us to see the world behind. So if you've got your Bible, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist. So here we see that the scriptures talk about that ultimately our enemies are not physical enemies. Now, we look in the world today and we see a lot of malevolent forces. We see a lot of dangerous, destructive forces that are led by people. But these people are being motivated and they're being led by at least one of two different spirits, the spirit of God or the spirit of the enemy, the spirit of this world, Satan. And here we see that in this particular struggle, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, the term there is talking about, it says against the schemes of the devil. The term for schemes in the Greek is methodios, and we get methods from it. And it says that basically Satan develops a scheme, a method for each of us in this world. He designs a specific trap for us, specific weaknesses for us based upon his understanding of us and how he can trip us up. And so in this struggle, God tells us that you and I are not strong enough to fight it on our own. How can we fight an unseen enemy? This is something I've struggled with as a pastor here since we came in 1992, is how do you fight an unseen enemy? And when our people are basically many baby Christians or immature Christians of various levels, and they don't understand the nature of the battle around us, and they just tend to think, everything I think is my thoughts, and everything that, every impression I have are my impressions, and you know, I make my decisions and I make my conclusions just based on what I think, and don't realize that our thinking is manipulated. And that the enemy works against us with that. And so he says, we don't just struggle against flesh and blood. And then he goes on and says, we struggle against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, it's interesting that this spiritual domain, especially of Satan's, Lucifer's, is organized. And it's built into, like we have, government. And a division of government. And if you'll see in the passage, there's at least three that are referred to: rulers, powers, world forces of darkness. It's interesting how we've been evangelized into the darkness of the occult Star Wars came out years ago, one of the most popular movies ever, and was a hit for Christians and unchurched people alike across the nation. And it emphasizes forces, the gods of forces. May the force be with you. And here we see this idea that there's world forces of darkness. God Almighty is not a force, he's a person. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that he's like electricity, the Holy Spirit. No, he is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. Jesus talks about him in great detail and gives all the attributes of personality to him, that he teaches, instructs, encourages, comforts, that he draws near to us, he protects us, he guides us. And so we see this idea of these rulers and powers and world forces of darkness. One of the most vivid illustrations of this division of powers and the organization of it is found in Daniel chapter 10. So if you've got your Bible, look over in Daniel chapter 10, beginning in verse 5. And here we see the godly Hebrew young man Daniel, who has captured and drug off into captivity. And we see here that in his captivity, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who they had called Belteshazzar. And so in this, we see that he began to fast and pray for 3 weeks, asking God for wisdom, asking God for direction. He didn't eat food. He prayed. And he says, then on the 24th day of the first month, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of upaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone, and I saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have not been sent to you. I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourselves before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. Here we see that Daniel began praying 21 days, 3 weeks earlier. And we see that in Scripture it says that they heard that day. His prayers were heard in heaven that day. They were recorded in heaven that day. But there was a delay in the answer. Now, here on earth, we have that all the time, and we say, why does God seem slow in this? And why does this not happen in a more remedial state? Why does this not occur? And we see here that there's opposition. Now, it's interesting, this opposition is referred to geographically, the Prince of Persia. Now, this was not a person. This was an angelic being. An angelic being that was opposing the messenger sent for Daniel to give him his answer, to the point where one of the archangels, Michael, had to intercede and assist. He had to come down and help fight this powerful demon, this king of Persia. And he had to allow the answer. We have that in our lives. where we see there's a spiritual opposition that stands in the way. We see it throughout Scripture. We see it in our lives. We experience it. Through the years, I've found that when people are really trying to live for the Lord or trying to take on a new ministry or trying to learn to witness or do some other thing in the Christian life, the enemy rises up and begins to oppose them. When we've had these revivals and Bible conferences through the years, and people have said, I've really wanted to come, and that night I went out and I had two flats and my car was out of gas or whatever, you know, all these different things. And generally they succumb to those things and don't realize that's the night you need to change the flats, put some gas in, get to the church as quick as you can. That's the night that God has something for you. Instead, we just give in. Well, I had company come at the last minute. My relatives are in town. I can't expect them to go to church. Well, why not? Why not? Why not have them worship Jesus with you? And so we see these things that occur in opposition. Now, when we look at this and the division of it, we see that there's geographic assignments. It's interesting, and I've read some reports, Christian reports, sociological reports, talking about sin patterns in different parts of the world. And it's interesting that no matter who has lived in some of these areas throughout the centuries, the sin patterns have been similar in different areas. Now, why would that be if all humans are sinful, we all sin in similar patterns and the same way? Why would this hold up? Why would that happen? And here's a couple of examples. In San Francisco Bay Area, homosexuality has been a predominant perversion there all the way back to the American Indians. The American Indians in that area experienced the same thing, the same perversion of homosexuality. And then until recent years, the Obama administration and the legalization of homosexual marriage, San Francisco was known as a capital of homosexuality in the United States. It's interesting, these types of things. If you look into the third world and look into some of the African nations, certain peoples have always been headhunters. Certain other peoples have always been cannibals. Why is that? Why do they have those sin patterns? Why does it continually stay the same? Well, you could say, well, they learned it from their parents and their grandparents. It's because the spirits in those areas operate in that way. And we need to recognize that. We see that in our own lives. Isn't it funny if you've lived in other places in your lifetime, how you'll live in one area and there'll be a whole lot of this, and then you'll move to another state or city and there'll be a whole lot of that. There'll be another form of sin. Look at Fort Pierce, just north of us, nicknamed Fort Fierce. We had one of the nurses talk to us and say that her stepfather was shot dead just a few days ago in front of a school. He was coming out, and they were looking for another man by his name, same name, and they shot him as an innocent man, shot him four times and killed him. Now, that happens all the time in Fort Pierce. I mean, how common is it? It's so common that a nurse shares that with us, you know, and the experience of it. Spirits are like that, and they operate in that way. And they do those sorts of things. And so we see this division of rulers and powers and world forces of darkness. So we're either in a battle against physical or a battle against spiritual, and there's a binary choice. And most of the time, nearly always, the physical that we're battling with is motivated by the spiritual. Secondly, second binary choice, there are ultimately only two families on earth, the family of God and the family of the devil. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 39. And here we see the Lord Jesus interacting with the Jews, the Jewish leadership. And they answered him and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. In other words, you know, they were not illegitimate. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Beloved, it's just that simple. There's only two families on planet Earth. There's the family of God and the family of the devil. There's only two families. Now, we're all born in that one family originally, the family of the devil, with our sin nature, fallen, separated from God, dominated by sin. And we're born in that way. And then we have to have a divine adoption, where he says in John 1, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, where we're divinely adopted into God's family. And so Jesus spelled this out, and then he talks about the characteristics of the two families. The one family loves Jesus, recognizes him, loves him. Look at verse 42. If God were your father, you would love me. We recognize God. The Spirit of God illuminates us, and we recognize God. Now, we can go with the plurality that's emphasized all the time now, the pluralism. We can talk about political correctness. We can talk about all of these various divergences. We can talk about all the different world religions, and we'll get into that in a minute when we look at the two gods of this earth. But there are only two families. Now, that's not my opinion. That's what God's word says. There's only two families. Everybody on this earth is either born of God or they're not. They're either a saint or an ain't. One or the other. Everybody. All 7.5 billion, approaching 8 billion. That's it. And you say, well, that's pretty narrow. Yes, it is. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go therein. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. But this is the crux of it. Is the resurrection of Christ true? Is it true that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh? Is it true that Jesus Christ, through God the along with God the Father, created the world, that he's the creator? They're the creator, the triune Godhead. If it's true, then there's only two families. We're either in one or the other. We're only in one of these two families. And so the family of God loves Jesus. We recognize him and love him. And that you find that all over the world. I've had the privilege to travel to many countries on mission trips and experience the love of God in all different kinds of people. All over the world. Billions that claim the name of Christ. The family of God loves Jesus. Secondly, the family of God hears God's word, verse 43. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. This is an interesting time we live in. This mixed with the next characteristic is that we respond to the truth. We hear God's word and we respond to the truth. Why are there so many Christians in our nation today that say, I love Jesus, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is in control of my life, I'm going to see him in eternity, but I'm going to support lesbian, gay, transgender lifestyles. I'm going to support abortion, the killing of innocent babies. I'm going to support anarchy and lawlessness. I'm going to support untruthful practices in elections and everything else. I'm going to support illegal people coming into the country and stealing taxpayers' money. And you say, well, Pastor, now you're going political. Brothers and sisters, it all fits together. There is no division between the two. And how can a person say, Jesus is my Lord and I love him, when you love what God hates? You love what God hates? How can that be? How can that be? I mean, I've got a dear friend that I'm debating with who's very educated. He's been an editor of a paper. And he embraces this liberal agenda as a believer. And I think, how can you do that? I've met with intelligent people in the history of our church in my office, a couple of them that have come in, and we've debated and talked about, well, I'm a Democrat, Pastor. You know, I'm for choice. Well, how can you be for choice? The only choice added to the equation is kill the baby. How can that be? Now, I just want to tell you, I know some of you, many of you grew up Democrat, your Democratic family. My parents loved John F. Kennedy, and we cried when he died, and on it goes like that. But as it goes along, and as things have changed, we've got to recognize that There's only two families, and the family of God loves Jesus, hears his word, and responds to the truth. And we can all have our own opinions, but we can't have our own truth. Truth is the reality of what is, whatever it is. Whatever it is, that's the truth. I'm sad my own son and daughter, graduates of Liberty, met their spouses at Liberty. I met Kim at Liberty. And they said, Dad, both my daughter and son and my son-in-law, daughter-in-law, they said, if we came out for Trump on Facebook, two-thirds of our friends from Liberty and all that would cut us loose. They'd defriend us. They're for Black Lives Matters. They're real soft on LGBT and all these other things. And, you know, as far as Black Lives Matters, all lives matter, including Black Lives, but Black Lives, the socialist movement, is destructive. It's being hijacked and being used as an emotional appeal. And it's not just that Black Lives Matter. It's that there shouldn't be police, there shouldn't be governments. There's an anarchy involved in going along with it. So we see here the family of God loves Jesus, hears God's word, responds to truth, and then originates from God. Look in verse 47. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. And then verse 42, Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. Originating with God. Next, we see the family of the devil. What are the characteristics of the family of the devil? Look in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Here we see that, first of all, the family of the devil, it originates from the devil. In verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. The origination there. Now, here's one of the things that can bring us peace, is if we realize the children of light are going to act like light, or at least they should, and the children of the devil are going to act like the devil. And so how does the devil act, and what does he do? Look at communist China. Murders people by the hundreds of thousands. Anybody that stands in the way. If a scientist starts speaking out about the origin of their virus, they kill him. If their scientists start publishing reports on it, they shut down their social media. They shut the whole thing down. They lie about their numbers. The president was in Shanghai with his cabinet in China and says, we have no new cases of the virus in Shanghai, and yet he and everybody in his cabinet had a mask on. If there are no new cases, why do you have a mask on? One of the easiest ways to not have any cases is don't test anybody. The cases can completely disappear if you don't test anybody. Only God knows how many people are infected in China, and they'll never tell. They're liars. They're communists. They're liars. You are of your father, the devil. It originates from him, and he fulfills his desires. You're the father of the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. And what does he do? First of all, he was a murderer from the beginning. What's the difference between historic United States and even the European nations that had Christian influence in the rest of the world? The view of the value of human life. That a human being is made in the image of God, and that all lives matter because we're made in the image of God. All of them. All of them. And that's why in our country still, because of our history and our tradition, if they find a corpse in the woods that's been there for 50 years, they start an investigation. In other countries, you can find troughs of people, and they could care less who they were. We see that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. Then we see also that he's a liar and the father of lies. The father, the originator. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Beloved, we need to stress truth now more than ever before in our lives and be accurate in what we say. Now, people will sweep it away by castigating us or personal attacks. And they don't try to debate truth. They don't try to deal with facts. They try to just sweep it away. Josh McDowell said years ago when he was going on the college campuses, he saw a change in the students where when he would speak on the evidences of the resurrection of Christ, they'd say, "Where did you get that? Where did you hear that? How can you prove that?" But then now on the campuses, he says they'll just say, "You don't have the right to say that." That's the way they dismiss it. No debate, no discussion. You don't have the right to say that. He's a liar and the father of lies. So we see there's the physical world and the spiritual world in spiritual warfare. And we see there's ultimately two families, the family of God and the family of the devil. And then finally, there's ultimately only two gods on earth. There's only two gods on earth. If you got your Bible, you could look with me in Romans. And Romans chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures." So here we see in Scripture, in Romans chapter 1, and Romans is the legal treatise of the New Testament. It's the legal dossier of God of the New Testament. In fact, many commentators and scholars said if they could have only one book in the New Testament, they'd want the book of Romans. And here in the book of Romans, we see that God spells it out and says there's only two gods on the earth. There's God Almighty, the Creator, and there's corruptible man, the created. Little g, God, corruptible man, big G, God Almighty, the Creator. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's only two gods on the earth. And you look and you see, he talks about mankind being ungrateful and then futile in their speculations. And then he says that they became fools. It's interesting in Scripture that he says in the Old Testament, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And so when we look at this, when we see, first of all, that God Almighty is revealed in creation, God's wrath is revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness. How does God judge unrighteousness and ungodliness? He judges it by allowing there to be more of it. And if you look in the passage on down, we won't get into it today, but that's what he talks about in the judgment of it. And he says that there's just God's nature is revealed in our conscience, first of all, in verse 19, if you look in verse 19, "because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." We have our conscience that God gave us. And this is found also in Romans chapter 2. If you've got your Bible, look there real quickly, verses 14 through 16. "For when Gentiles or the nations do not have the law, do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." Every human being on the face of the earth is born with a conscience. Now, there are many that have seared their conscience. They don't have it any longer. It doesn't function any longer. And some of these cannot get saved. The Bible refers to them as reprobates, where the Spirit of God doesn't have the conscience to work with them, in them, to bring conviction for them to repent, to give their life to Christ. But all of humanity has conscience, and then all of humanity has creation. For since the creation of the world, it says in verse 20, the invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal Godhead and power, so that they're without excuse. Now, where we live right here in South Florida, we could go out to the beach and look at the ocean. Water as far as the eye can see. It seems limitless. And we can say, what kind of a powerful God can create a body of water like this? The electrical storms, you know, when we were having our drive-in, one of those services, God hit us with fireworks almost, but at least the first half of the service till we prayed, and then he stopped it. But, I mean, there were forks of 5 and 6 and 7 fingers coming down in downtown, and we could see it from all the vehicles when we were out there. It was rocking our world. And, of course, that was the Sunday that Andrew sang, I'll praise you in the midst of the storm, I think. And we were. But you see those things and you say, God, you're amazing. You're so powerful. I'm amazed at you and what you can do in your power. I want to ask all of you today, how powerful do you think God is? And is that same God living inside you? If so, you and I, this is a time for us to stand. This is a time for us to stand for truth. This is a time for us to stand for Scripture. This is a time for us to stand for our Savior. This is a time for us to stand even for our country. This is the time for us to stand. And so the wrath of God is revealed against ungodliness. God's nature is revealed in our conscience. God's nature is revealed in creation. But then we look at corruptible man. He replaces God with created deities. Verses 21 through 23. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So what he says is several things. Number one, man replaces God with futile speculations. Evolution is the biggest hoax, and it is on its face absolutely ridiculous. Evolution is absolutely ridiculous, and yet if anybody holds to creation or divine intelligent design, they're ridiculed out of the schools. That shows the insanity of where we are now on this earth. Everything that, all the complexity and everything we see around us came from nothing. That is absurd on the face. It is absolutely ridiculous. And here's how scientists try to prove it. They've been spending decades and decades, 50, 60, 70 years in laboratories with some of the most brilliant scientists with every type of resource they can find to try to create life in a laboratory, and they haven't been able to do it. And so they're proving their own thing. They can't create it, and they've got all the materials that God's loaned them. Is that crazy or what? And yet we buy it, and I mean, in our children, and they're ridiculed if they don't believe it. It's hypocrisy. It's ridiculous. We become fools with our futile speculation. And then mankind deifies man himself. We see here that he says, exchange the worship of God to worship people. Corruptible man, the form of corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, crawling creatures. All the world religions are built after a leading man, Buddha with Buddhism, Confucius with Confucianism, Islam is Muhammad, and on it goes. On and on it goes. Now, I pull this out of my file because I thought it was so telling, and it really fits this text exactly, especially the latter part of this text that we won't get into today. Former Congressman William Dannemeyer read this statement written by Michael Swift in the Gay Community News years ago. Here's what Michael Swift, the gay advocate, said. "We shall sodomize your sons. We shall seduce them in your schools, your dormitories, your gyms, your locker rooms, your sports arenas, your seminaries. They will come to crave and adore us. All laws banning homosexuality activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men. All homosexuals must stand together as brothers. We must be united artistically, philosophically, socially, politically, and financially. We will triumph only when we present a common face to the vicious heterosexual enemy." In other words, anyone who holds Christian values. "The family unit, spawning ground of lies, betrayals, mediocrity, hypocrisy, and violence, will be abolished." The family unit, that is the enemy. "The family unit, which only dampens imagination, curbs free will, must be eliminated. Perfect boys will be conceived and grown in the genetic laboratory. They will be bonded together in a communal setting under the control and instruction of homosexual servants. All churches who condemn us will be closed." And here's the part. "Our only gods are handsome young men. Since we are alienated from middle-class heterosexual conventions, we are free to live our lives according to the dictates of the pure imagination. For us, too much is not enough. We shall be victorious because we're filled with the ferocious bitterness of the oppressed who have been forced to play seemingly bit parts in your dumb heterosexual shows throughout the ages. Tremble, hetero swine, when we appear before you without our masks." And that bears repeating again. "Perfect boys will be conceived and grown in the genetic laboratory. They will be bonded together in communal settings under the control and instruction of homosexual servants. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods are handsome young men." This is what the Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago in the book of Romans. This is what he predicted. The Spirit of God predicted exactly here, and this is where we are. And we need to recognize that we're in the battle of our lives, not only for our own personal lives, but for our nation, our families, everything we hold near and dear. This election's about that. This election's about that. Don't be deceived. I mean, neither party's going to heaven on Air Force One. I mean, Jesus isn't coming back on Air Force One, but the Republican Party is the closest of the two by far to biblical worldview principles. The Republican Party opposes so many of these things that the Word of God opposes. And I just want to tell you, anybody you know that owns anything, if they own a house, a savings account, a car, if they own a bicycle, you better encourage them to vote straight Republican this election, or you're going to lose everything that you've had in this life, plus all of our personal liberties. We all can see it. It is a fact. Look how these democratic cities and states are being run. Look at the anarchy, defunding the police, allowing the mobs to rule the cities. It's ridiculous. It should never be. We should stand. We should pray. We should seek God's face. And I want to encourage you, speak out like you've never spoke out before. Everything is hanging in the balance. Now, God doesn't need America. God doesn't need America. God Almighty is sovereign. There is a one-world government coming. We're going to look in some of that. He predicts it. We can't stop it. But let's pray for God to use this nation one more time. One more time. For revival, for evangelism. This nation was started for that. These idiots tearing down statues. These criminals. I mean, they're idiots. They're stupid. They say, we're for Black Lives Matter, and they tore down Frederick Douglass's statue, the most influential black pastor in the history of the nation. Christopher Columbus, he didn't have any slaves. My gosh. You know, it's to destroy our nation. Destroy our nation and wipe away, ultimately, our Christianity. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you. We thank you and praise you so much for your mighty Son, the Lord Jesus. We ask you, please, dear God, to pour your Spirit out upon us in a supernatural way. Help us, Lord, bring an awakening to our nation. We desperately need you. Pour your Spirit out upon us. Please, everyone that heard the sound of my voice today, give them strength from heaven. Strengthen them by your might and your intensity. Give them the will to stand, to speak out, to represent. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. I want to ask you to bow your heads one more time and ask you this. Have you made sure of your relationship with Christ? Are you sure that Jesus Christ lives in your life? If not, I'd like to invite you to just pray this prayer and say, Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive my sins and cleanse me and save me and live through me. Thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I want to invite you to stand and sing together. Next week, we're going to look at the origin of our enemy and the history of Satan in the New Testament as we look at spiritual warfare. So I want to encourage you to come and take part in that study with us. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, again, just go with our people. Pour your Spirit out on us. Bless us, protect us, use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through Kingdom education.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the 4-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There are several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstewart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.